Please be advised, this episode may include depictions of murder, sexual content, and foul language that is not suitable for children. Parental discretion is advised.
Hi, welcome back to Wickedness. I'm Matt.
And I'm Lenny. And Matt went first.
Hey! That's a rarity.
It is. It is. So, we hope you guys are ready for today, part two of this insane dude. But before we get into that, we're recording a little bit early.
Yeah, we are, because we got adventures to be had.
We have big adventures coming up in this weekend that I'm really hoping are not interrupted by the crazy ass ice storm we're going through right now.
Yeah, we started it on Monday. Now it's Tuesday. Then it's supposed to be on Wednesday.
But we're supposed to fly out on Thursday
at 5:30 in the morning.
Which means we need to be like heading to the airport at least by 3:15 a.m.
Yes.
On Thursday morning.
Yeah.
To allow for time to navigate these icy roads to the airport, because the airport's not that far from our house. Mm-mm. But we got to navigate the icy roads, and then when we get there, we got to park. And I'm assuming we're parking, right?
Yes.
We're leaving the car there.
Yeah,
okay. Of course. And then we got to check a bag, which we never do. So I don't know how long that takes nowadays, but we got to check a bag.
Quick. It'll be quick. It'll be easy. It's just getting there, like making sure we get there safe and sound. And
yeah, that's the main thing.
Takes off when it's supposed to, but, you know, it is what it is. We'll just roll with the punches, I guess.
And I'll keep an eye on it. Like, I will check us in first thing tomorrow morning because, you know, the earlier check-in, better.
Right.
But anyway, we have adventures coming up. So we are recording this little nugget of fun for you a little early so that, because when we get back, it's just going to be too close for comfort on getting this out on time if we waited. So,
yeah.
We will, that being said, we will tell you all about our adventures in Seattle on the next episode of Wickedness.
Yes, we will.
Not this one, though. So, all right. Let's give a recap. We learned about David Parker Ray a little bit last week and his nasty-ass accomplice, Cindy Hendy.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find her name so fun to say, though.
It is kind of fun to say.
Cindy Hendy.
Cindy Hendy.
But
so catchy.
She's just messed up. She's messed up.
She really is messed
up. We learned about their childhoods and things like that. And then we talked about Cynthia, who escaped, right?
Yes.
Last week. And we got you guys all caught up on the toy box. And we even gave you a little snippet of the tape that he played for his victims when they woke up on his table, which was pretty disturbing. And I have to say, I'm pretty damn proud of myself. Okay. Like, I'm still learning how to use a lot of things and do a lot of things. So the fact that I was able to get that clip in for you guys and let it read exactly what I wanted it to read and not go any further than that.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty proud. I'm pretty proud.
Yeah, she had a proud podcaster moment.
I totally did.
It is cool when you learn different things and how to do some of this stuff. It is pretty cool.
Well, I came out from editing last week's episode and I was like, babe, I did it. I'm awesome. That's right. Hope you guys enjoyed that. And if you didn't, whatever.
I don't have nothing to say.
I got nothing for you, right?
Keep it moving.
So anyway, we ended last week basically telling you guys that the FBI had found some torture instruments and a thing like all their contraptions and stuff that they used on their victims that Cynthia had told them they would find inside of the toy box. And more importantly, they found a videotape from 1996, which was like a few years before Cynthia was taken and she escaped, showing a terrified woman that was being raped and tortured by David and Cindy. And that is where we're going to pick up.
Okay.
Okay.
I like it.
So with this type of case, you know, it went public and the public freaked out that this was happening. But more disturbingly was the fact that when the case went public about Cynthia's escape and these toy box killer, or we call them the toy box killers, but this man and woman who were attacking women, kidnapping women and putting them in their toy box and playing with them. When this all went public, a woman named Angelica Montano came forward with a story that was similar to Cynthia's story. And she had been an acquaintance of David's, and she had gone to his house to borrow a cake mix when he drugged her, raped and tortured her, and then left her by a highway out in the desert. Mm. She knew them. So she knew that this crap had happened to her by people she knew, which is very disturbing.
That is disturbing.
So the police found her out by the side of the road in the desert, or an off-duty police officer did. He found her and took her to safety, but he didn't follow up on it.
Yeah, that is
strange. I mean, it just pisses me off. I don't find it strange. I find it lazy and dumb. But she had told him what happened to her, and he hadn't believed her. Uh-huh. And literally, she was dropped off at a bus stop and left.
Yeah.
You find a woman in the middle of nowhere, desert highway area in New Mexico, and she's telling you this crazy-ass story, and you're an off-duty cop, and you just drop her off at a bus stop.
Well, and the thing is, how hard would it have been just to follow up on that? It wouldn't have been too much to do, really.
It wouldn't have been, but it was never followed up on. Mm-hmm. And then a few days later, she called the police station and she found out that there had been no report, no follow-up done. And even after that call, though, nothing was done.
Yeah.
So it's crazy that no one followed up. But you find a woman abandoned on desert highway telling you a story about how someone drugged, raped, and tortured her, and you don't follow up. I really don't understand that.
I don't either.
And to make this even sadder, Angelica died of heart failure brought on by pneumonia when she was only 28 years old. And I have to wonder if some of that had to do with the trauma she suffered.
Yeah, possibly.
I mean, I shouldn't assume or anything like that, but I can't help but wonder. I can't help but think that maybe something that David and Cindy had done to her and the stress. But it was learned that David's MO was to drug his victims with drugs that would induce amnesia and memory loss, like sodium pentothal and phenobarbital. So they couldn't properly remember what had happened to them afterwards. And I think some of that to me is kind of like, whew, thankfully I don't have to remember all the details.
True.
But now that the police had two women who could confirm that David and Cindy had attacked them, they were able to get Cindy to talk. So they're like, hey, we now have two women who are telling us that you guys did this stuff. So now Cindy's like, crap.
Yeah.
So she...
The bag is up.
Mm-hmm. So she tells them about murders that David has committed. This is where the murders come in.
Okay.
That we're like, but no one can prove, right? Remember I mentioned that last week?
Yeah.
So this testimony led police to discover that David was helped in the abductions and murders by his daughter, Jessie, and his friend, Dennis Roy Yancey. So they find out about two new accomplices. Dennis was picked up and he admitted to helping murder Marie Parker, who he, Jesse, and David had kidnapped, drugged, and tortured for days. Dennis said David had forced him to kill her, so he strangled her to death and buried her body in the desert in 1997. He apparently led police to where he and David had buried her body after he had strangled her, but they never found anything.
Okay.
He believed, and the FBI also believed, that David had gone back, dug up the body, and moved it somewhere.
Okay.
And Dennis told the FBI that David had held him at gunpoint and forced him to kill her. However, I I have to question.
Right. Yeah.
Like no one really wants to be like, I was fully on involved in, or full on involved in this. And mm-hmm. You know, am the one who did, like, oh no, this person made me. Or did he? Did he hold him to gunpoint? I mean, look at what Charles Manson did to people.
Right. You just don't know.
But to top it off, the videotape the police had found in the toy box showing the rape and torture of a woman in 1996, police were able to identify who that woman was. And this is a really sad story to me. Her name was Kelly Garrett. Police were able to find her in Colorado after they identified her from a tattoo on her ankle. The video showed her ankle tattoo, and Kelly's ex-mother-in-law was able to confirm that it was her after they had tracked her down. She testified that on July 24th, 1996, she had gotten in a fight with her husband and decided to spend the night playing pool with friends. David's daughter, Jessie, who knew Kelly, took her out to Blue Water Saloon in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. And it's assumed that Jessie drugged her through the beer she was drinking. She offered to give her a ride home, but she said she needed to stop at her dad's house first. And when they got to David's, by this time, you know, Kelly's already drugged. Mm-hmm. So Jessie helps her dad put a dog collar on her and a leash, and they take her into the toy box.
Oh.
Kelly said she endured 2 days of torture before David took her home. He dressed in his state park uniform and took her home and told her husband he found her wandering along the lakefront beach.
Oh, wow.
She survived and somehow made it home with a foggy memory due to all the drugs, right?
Sure, yeah.
Her husband, however, didn't believe that she couldn't remember where she had been. And when she said she had been raped by David, that she could remember parts of that, he didn't believe that either, especially when she said she didn't know what to tell police. So she didn't contact them. Like, she didn't want to report it, but she's trying to tell her husband this stuff happened.
Yeah.
Her husband assumed she cheated on him and had been gone for a few days. Mm-hmm. And so he divorced her and Kelly moved to Colorado to get a change of scenery. She would later sit through an interview on Cold Case Files and talk about what she went through, though. And her main memory was that David had raped her.
Yeah.
She did have a memory of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad to me because her husband, I mean, yes, obviously you guys have been fighting or whatever, but if you're telling your husband that you were raped by someone,
mm-hmm.
like why, how distrustful is he?
Yeah.
That he doesn't believe you.
Right.
I just can't even imagine that.
Yeah.
Like, nope, you cheated.
Yeah.
We're getting divorced.
Right.
Dude, it's probably the best thing that could have happened for her, to be honest, if he can't support you through something crazy like that. But I wonder if he's like, because there are pictures out there of her from this videotape now. Man, you see strapped to the table. She's enduring. Oh, she's got all kinds of crap hooked to her. I saw the pictures. They're horrible.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And like, he's got to have seen this. This stuff has had to have come out because his mom had to identify her on the videotape.
Yeah.
Say, yeah, that was Kelly.
Yeah.
Like, now I hope so. Yeah. That's what I was about to say. I hope he feels like shit. I hope he feels like, damn, I did not believe her.
Yeah.
And it really did happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't come out for years, but still, like, I hope that he looked back at that time and was like, what the fuck?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And if he didn't,
shame on him.
Then I hope that he has no relationships in his future. None in it. Like, I hope that he is a lonely ass man who has nothing. Like, I wish nothing for you.
Yeah.
And that's as bad as I can get. Like, I don't want anyone to die or anything like that. But I hope that you are just suffering in your loneliness because you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But anyway. Another disturbing piece of evidence that was found in David's toy box was his journal. And we kind of talked about this last week, right? This is one of the main reasons that the FBI believes that he was a killer.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI said he kept meticulous records where he detailed the victims that he kidnapped and everything he had done to them. He like serious detail. Mm-hmm. It contained dozens of entries. And the only problem was that he didn't include names only dates and the number of times he tortured each victim and their general description, things like that. No names.
Mm-hmm.
One report said that his journal talked about at least 50 victims who he murdered.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. They never were set free.
Oh, and that's my thing. I was wondering that too. Like, what was the reason why he set some free and not others? Or he took it too far, so they were killed.
Yeah, who knows?
On some of his torturing.
Only he knows, right? Only he and Cindy or whoever his accomplice was.
Most
on
people,
those.
If they're killers, they're killers. Oh, mm-hmm. Everyone. They don't. The only reason why somebody made it is because they got out of there.
Somehow were able to escape
or something. Yeah.
But no, or maybe they just felt secure because there's mm-hmm. really, if you think about it, there's only three. There's only three victims.
Oh, okay.
So there's only three survivors.
Yeah. Well, and a lot
and one of them escaped. Like Cynthia escaped.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who knows if she would have made it out alive. But the other two, yeah, he set free, but they couldn't remember shit.
Yeah. Well, I know that we've covered so many. There's some that have let people go.
Mm-hmm.
But very rare.
It is rare.
But like you said, there's only, you know, three that we know of that right. have from here.
But his journal is detailing about 50.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the thing is, there wasn't enough in his journal to build a case against him, and they didn't find anything additional to help to convict him for murder. Mm-hmm. So he was never brought up on murder charges, even with this journal. And I find that crazy.
Yeah.
But I get it.
Yeah.
Like, how do you prove it?
Prove it now.
Just because he wrote it down, I can write anything I want to in anything.
Right.
It doesn't make it true.
Yeah.
I mean, people write books all the time and get them published, right?
Yeah.
So how do you prove it? And they couldn't. So in total, the investigators collected more than 1,000 pieces of evidence out of the toy box. Unfortunately, police believe that no other women came forward about attacks because David did kill them. Hmm. But there's, again, no evidence. It's just an assumption. But the police firmly believe this. And they tried to find bodies, but never did. Cindy and Dennis had even helped the police by telling them places they believed David had disposed of bodies. But nothing was ever found every time they went to one of those places.
Yeah.
However, with three women who had come forward, there was enough evidence to convict the couple on more than 25 counts of kidnapping and rape. And now, facing prosecution, Cindy agrees to cooperate by testifying against her boyfriend, David, right? Basically, she was facing 197 years in prison for 25 felony counts of kidnapping and criminal sexual penetration. So she turned on him on April 6, 1999. The FBI said she knew of at least 14 girls that he had murdered, but again, no evidence. The prosecutor in the case said that Cindy had told him that David had described to her how he eviscerated a body cavity, weighted the body down, and dumped it in a lake that it wouldn't, you know, so that it wouldn't float back up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is disturbing, and in my opinion, only something someone would tell someone else if he or she was thinking about doing it or had actually already done it.
Yeah.
He probably had already done it.
Yeah.
But police searched a nearby lake in Elephant Butte where Cindy said that David had told her he put the body, but they never found anything. And I would think it would be hard to search a lake like this, though. It was 23 miles long. I looked it up. 3 or 4 miles wide, and some parts of it were 90 to 100 feet deep.
Yeah.
And it's a lake, so it's going to be a bit murky, not exactly crystal clear waters that you're swimming through. The pictures I looked up of the lake are pretty, but it's not a clear lake.
Right. Did David own a boat? I wonder.
I don't know. Visibility would be hard for divers, so I'd be willing to bet he dumped some of the bodies in there. But again, no bodies were ever found, so he's suspected of being a serial killer, but there's no proof. And as far as him owning a boat, even if he doesn't, you can rent one.
Yeah.
You can rent boats.
Yeah.
So.
Might be a better plan anyway. Well. Maybe.
I don't know. But the FBI did say that they believe that anyone who put that much time and effort into their toy box and who claimed to have murdered numerous women over the years most likely has a lot more victims mm-hmm. than what we will ever know about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So David and his accomplices are being tried for kidnapping only with no evidence of murders. And not just kidnapping, like rape and torture, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But no murders. They are being tried for the kidnapping of Kelly Garrett, Cynthia Vigil, and Angelica Montano. They decided to try them all separately and for the three separate trials, one for each victim.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
The trial for Kelly was first, and it actually ended in a mistrial. I was trying to dig into why and kind of lost track of time. So yeah. I didn't have time to actually dig in on why it ended in a mistrial. But from what I could gather from some of the articles, there were two mistrials before he was actually convicted.
Okay. So, interesting.
Yeah. So I really want to kind of dig into that. But yeah. The prosecutors also ran into a problem with Dennis Yancey and Cindy Hendy, who had originally turned on David. They changed their minds and decided not to testify against him. All of them were in jail at the same time, right? And Dennis had received a note that said, quote, rats die in jail, end quote. So he took back his story.
Yeah.
And Cindy was receiving love letters that were appealing to her, telling her how much he loved her and wanted to marry her and all this type of stuff.
Oh my David goodness.
He even got her name tattooed on his arm. And Cindy liked this, so she ended up recanting her confession
and saying
she had made up all the stuff she said before.
Wow.
Right? Like, yeah. Seriously?
Yep.
But Dennis refused to testify against David, and he avoided going to trial himself, and he pled guilty to second-degree murder, and he got 30 years in prison. So what's sad about that is this guy, Dennis, his accomplice to David, goes to prison for murder and gets 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
David is never tried for murder.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like what the heck?
All because Dennis, and they never found a body or anything, but Dennis's story landed him in prison for 30 years.
What's really wild is a story can land you, but you've got a piece of paper, a journal with 50 entries saying you've killed these people with dates.
Yeah, but that's not enough.
A guy can tell you like how.
What? But I can walk in and be like, I killed somebody, and here's what I did, and how I did it, and who I did it to, and etc. And now I'm in prison.
Yeah.
But my accomplice is not. Or at least not with me.
Regardless, this guy wasn't a good person, but still.
No, but still. So Cindy was sentenced to 36 years in prison for the kidnapping and torture of both Cynthia and Angelica, but not for Kelly. And I'm not sure if Kelly, well, that's right. Jesse helped with Kelly. So,
okay.
So Cindy is sentenced to 36 years for Cynthia and Angelica in 2000 with the possibility of parole. And she was paroled in 2019, just a couple of years ago after half her sentence.
Okay. Came out during COVID.
So this sick woman is out there walking around free. Mm.
Oh, Cindy.
Mm-hmm. Cindy Hendy, free woman.
Wonder if she has a different name now.
I don't know. Maybe we should look it up on Facebook. Everyone's got social media nowadays.
Yeah.
Anyway, and remember, you know, earlier we mentioned that David was close to his daughter, Jessie, who brought him her friend Kelly. Well, she was getting ready to go to trial, and David freaked out. So he made a plea bargain that he would plead guilty to all the remaining charges against him if they would set Jesse free. And they took it.
Okay.
However, Jesse was sentenced to 9 years and served her time for her part in Kelly's abduction. But that's all.
Okay.
Just 9 years.
9 years, yeah.
So in 2001, David was sentenced to 223 years for the kidnappings and torturing and raping of two women. Only two.
Mm-hmm.
He never admitted to any murders, but he did contact authorities in May of 2002, letting them know he was ready to talk to them. He claimed that he had kidnapped about 40 women.
Mm-hmm.
And a meeting was set up to go talk to him, but then David had a heart attack and died before the meeting took place.
Oh, wow.
So I hope that he was having a guilty conscience, maybe came to Jesus or something and was like, okay, I need to go and confess this stuff. I'm already in prison for the rest of my life anyway. 223 right. years, no right. one's living that long, right?
Yeah.
But he died before the meeting took place, so they got absolutely nothing. In 2011, The FBI released hundreds of images of items that were collected during the investigation, including jewelry and women's clothing. And they asked that if you have any missing person in your family, to look over the photos and contact them if you recognize anything. Because they're seriously trying hard to still locate missing people.
Well, too, yeah, you wonder, like, there in New Mexico, around that area where they live, too, how many missing people are, right? Out there, that they kind of wonder if during those time frames when he was doing what he was doing.
Well, and I'm sure there's tons. I'm just baffled, like, they never found any bodies.
Yeah.
But Cindy and Dennis are like, no, we, Dennis especially is like, no, I strangled this woman. I buried her body with him out in the desert. And here's where we buried her. And they went and found nothing.
Yeah.
And then Cindy's like, well, no, he throws their bodies into the lake. Mm-hmm. And they combed that lake. They sent divers. They did everything, found nothing.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, how did David like have Bigfoot powers where he could like do alternate universe stuff. My victims are over here in that universe.
And right. Well, that'd be wild.
I'm just kidding. But
that would be crazy.
It would be. That's like, some, oh my gosh.
X-File stuff there. Gotta go to this other
make a joke.
Gotta go this other dimension to find them.
Right. Oh my, or another planet.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's sad because you gotta, and why would he write about 50 women in his journal, or estimated 50 women in his journal? Tell the FBI that he wants to talk to them about 40 women.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not, like, what did he do with the bodies?
Mm-hmm. That would be definitely an interesting question to ask. Like, where are
but
these?
We can't. No. Because he died. And he took it with him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way we'll ever know.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to me that, this all died with him.
If he did true, in fact, kill a lot of these people, that how he was able to hide them and not be found, that's pretty remarkable. Not one was found, you know?
Right, not one.
So that's...
But the police too... I believe he was a killer, a serial killer. I believe there are bodies out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that his accomplices are not lying when they said that he told them these stories, and they do know where they are located. But I really do wonder what he was going to tell the FBI.
Yeah.
And I kind of hope he was going to just come clean. And I just kind of wish that they had managed to meet with him before his heart attack.
Yes.
But it's crazy that he had a meeting scheduled
and then he dies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really hope that he was just about to dump his junk, you know, just like, I got to get it out. Because a lot of serial killers do that after they're caught. They're like, well, I'll tell you everything. I'll finally tell you everything.
Yeah, the gig's up here. Let me just confess and tell you. And a lot of that, they love it. They get off on that part.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know if he was really that guy.
It doesn't seem like it through when you were
because
talking
he
about
never
him.
Talked about that stuff.
Yeah, he didn't have a big ego about it.
No, he seemed to really just get off on doing what he did to these women.
Yes, I mean, he created this place called a toy box.
Right, that was his.
That
thing.
Was his thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that truly was his thing. He didn't need the he didn't want the publicity. I don't think, because it was not one of those. He's not one of those killers that is. Everyone's talking about him.
Right.
You know, and he didn't share anything. If the police didn't know, he didn't tell them. Whereas other serial killers, they'd be like, or I mean, look at freaking BTK writing them letters to tell him everything he did. Yeah. And other serial, or look at the Happy Face killer. He has people admitting to one of his crimes and he's writing about it on the bathroom wall and sending letters. And he's like, that's mine.
That's mine.
That's mine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, they get off on the killing, but they also get off on
the
notoriety
attention for
the attention
it. Yeah.
They're getting from it.
David didn't seem to be like one of those.
No, he didn't, yeah.
Which to me is even scarier. Because if you were like David Parker Ray out there and you're not trying to get the attention for it, then you really are just trying to do what you do.
Yeah.
And you don't want to get caught.
Yeah.
And that is scary.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Because I don't know if they would have gotten caught, him and Cindy, if she hadn't escaped.
Yeah. Right.
Who knows?
A lot of it. Yeah. And yeah, when people escape and able to or get found out and finally somebody believed her, unlike the other girl that was out on the highway, left stranded.
Yes. And can I just add, like, I'm still bothered by, and I guess maybe this is why the Toy Box Killers bothered me the most. And, you know, I said that at the beginning of last episode, mm-hmm. like these are the worst to me because I mean, everything we've just talked about, but he had friends that he let come and rape mm-hmm. his victims as well mm-hmm. while they were in that doggy box, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell are you friends with?
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
Are you telling me there are like the next door neighbor came over and had a couple of beers with me and we grilled some steaks and oh, by the way, I've got
somebody over here.
Got someone over here if you just want to fuck her really quick.
Yeah.
She's not going to scream
she's
or anything.
Chained up. Yeah, she's drugged up.
Bent over. She's ready for it. Just go and get your rocks off. Oh, but you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be that, like, this vulgar person right now. Mm-hmm. I'm being honest. That to me is terrifying. Mm-hmm. There are normal, everyday people who he was friends with that he let come and do this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't make friends like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have friends like, or at least I freaking hope I don't have friends like that.
Yeah.
It scares me. I don't ever want to leave the house again. No wonder people become agoraphobes or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't need to. Ugh.
Yeah.
Doesn't that give you the heebie-jeebies?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, you're just sitting there, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, no, it's fucked up, babe.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's our Toy Box Killer episode 2.
Yes.
We hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, we do. And tell us what you think. So you can contact us at wickednesstruecrime@yahoo.com. Check us out at our website at wickednesstruecrimeandtheunknown.com. Follow us on Instagram at wickednesstruecrime. Check us out on Facebook, wickednesstruecrimeandtheunknown. And follow us on Anchor at anchor.fm/wickedness, where you can also support us if you feel like lending your support by clicking on support button. And finally, last but not least, rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you listen to us on. This helps us get our podcast out to more people and make sure you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.